It's time once again for another episode of Co-Founders Radio. Broadcasting live from the Pro Business Channel studios in Atlanta. And now, here's your host, Rich Casanova.
All right, we are locked and loaded on the Pro Business Channel networks here in Atlanta with our billion-dollar Buckhead View. If you've ever been in Atlanta, this is where it's happening.
Yeah,
alongside Craig Williams.
Goes up every week.
Right. Yeah. Well, we decided to change it because there's not $1 million. There's no property out there that's worth $1 million.
Of course.
Yeah. They're
of
all.
Course.
If you,
you're spot
we,
on.
We did the math. Yeah, it's a Buckhead billion-dollar view.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So haven't seen you in a little while. You've been traveling on the road and got some cool things cooking.
Yep. Just making sure that we stay above ground here.
Nice. That's always a good place to be,
Yeah.
So if you're just tuning in, as we mentioned, this is the Co-Founders Podcast being brought to you by in part by WeWork. Always excited about this episode. WeWork is, we say it's the world's largest that we know of.
Yeah.
Co-working space around the world. What, 70 markets, 6 countries around the world, and we're a round of applause for
Over 60,000 members.
It's crazy.
Strong and growing about 10% a month.
Yeah. Do we have stock in that yet, or how does this work?
Sure we do. Yeah.
All right.
It's
so,
private.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But we have an interest.
Well, absolutely. We're big fans, not only as them as a media partner, but as members ourselves. And we have a member in the studio as well. But before we introduce our first guest, if you would just introduce yourself. And Joey, if you'd start things off, name, company name, and what's a teaser you might be sharing with us today?
Yeah. So thanks for having me on today. I am Joey Womack, founder of Amplify for Good. We help organizations create social impact. And so I'm trying to help a billion people, man. That's what I'm talking about today. I'm trying to help a billion people by the year 2039.
Yeah, to match our billion-dollar view. That's
there
right.
It is. There it is.
All right, so we have a theme going on here. So, Nina, carry on the billion-dollar themes.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about yourself briefly, because we're going to do a full interview in just a moment, but about your company and your mission, if you
would. Sure. So my name is Nina Kacharava, and the name of the company is Nina CDN, which is kind of really interesting because I literally spend a week thinking of a domain name, and I'm like, hey, like, you know, why not start something simple? So what I do is basically I'm sort of like the fuel for a car. I deliver your content to the end viewer, no matter on what device. It will be a cell phone, TV, tablet, whatsoever. So for more details, probably we'll go into the separate interview, like who's the customer and so on. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
So you're fueling content.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're the fire behind the content.
At
a billion views.
Exactly. So
the pressure's on now. Yeah.
Yeah. For billion viewers and more.
Nice. And beyond. Billion and beyond.
Billion and beyond.
All right. So, Sherry Kubani. Welcome
correct.
To the show. We're neighbors right down the hall at WeWork.
Yeah. Yes, we are. Yeah, love WeWork.
Yeah, we do too. So welcome to the studio. First time in the studio, right?
Yes, it is.
Very excited to have you here. So
excited to be here.
Absolutely. So let's jump into, before we jump into your business and your mission, tell us a little bit about yourself and what people may or may not know.
Okay. Well, like you said, my name's Sherry Kubani. And I am a personal injury attorney. And I think what a lot of people don't know is that I'm also a pro athlete.
If you're looking at her, you would
I know.
You
would, that's what I was thinking. Like, oh, okay.
I'm trying to hold my gut in as we're talking here.
Breathe, Rich. Breathe.
That's funny. And I do fitness modeling. But I think mostly what is passion for me is the law. I think the fitness helps balance the stress that comes along with being a solo practitioner.
Mm. I was just going to mention that. And so you live and breathe that every day.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so fast forward, why law school and what? Why personal injury? And how long have you been doing what you're doing?
Absolutely. Well, I've been in the legal industry for over 20 years. I'm just not going to give a specific amount of time.
She started when she was
a lady's age. Yeah. I mean, I was
five. I didn't know you started law school. Yeah. Middle school, yeah.
And I actually started off as a paralegal.
Okay.
And I wanted to kind of see what it was like being a tribe's member before I transcended into being a chief. I worked under defense lawyers, and I also worked under plaintiff's attorneys, trying to determine which side I found most appealable. And it turned out that I liked defending the individual more than the corporation. I did that for a number of years until I noticed that I was handling cases from the inception to conclusion, but I wasn't getting the attorney pay. And I thought, I want $1 billion.
Yeah, there you go.
There it is. All right, get credit,
Yeah, so I started going to law school at night, and I worked full-time during the day. Graduated, had a insane time studying for the bar while working full-time, but got through all of that, and now here I am.
Wow. Great story. Great story. And tell me a little bit about how you're able to integrate the balance of what you do in your daily life.
Well, first and foremost, I enjoy helping others. I mean, it's a compulsion of mine to the degree of I've got several pro bono cases that I take because people will walk up to me and just ask random questions. And based upon my time availability, I'll say, oh, I can help you with that. I'm helping the lady that cleans my building. I'm helping just a random person that I saw at Target one day who was outside. It is just the driving need to help others.
We both have personal testimonies. I know just walking down the hall, you've stopped by our space and said, you know, with accidents we both had about the same time.
Yeah.
And I don't think we were on the clock, whatever the meter wasn't running. And just a true concern. I feel the passion of that you had a genuine interest in and giving some pro bono advice and some tips to both of us. Yeah.
And right so now. I see how that, how you're able to meld that. I mean, you take good care of yourself, and it's better to love others as you love yourself.
Yes.
Literally and figuratively.
Yes.
So, I see how that's natural for you because you're doing such a good job on taking care of you, and it's natural for you to, share with others. And so I definitely see how that is reflected in her firm.
Talk to us about your firm. What makes it unique?
I think what makes it unique is that I look at each client as an individual and not as a number. I usually tell my clients, when you call, you will speak to me more than you will my assistant. And that's just mostly because I need to know about your case. I need to know what's wrong with you firsthand, not secondhand, from someone else. And unfortunately, a lot of the bigger firms don't necessarily have I think it's the attorney time because, for instance, on the way over here, I had a client call me on my cell phone in a panic, and I sat out in the parking lot trying to handle that. And it can be a little trying sometimes to try and balance it all yourself. But I think just having that personal touch with the client means a lot. And I unfortunately really feel that a lot of attorneys have lost the ability to intimately advocate for their client. And they look at every incident as the same incident, and it's not.
It is easier to do that.
You mentioned your assistant. I reached out to her and said, will you be joining us in the studio observe? And she said, no, she's going to be back at the office. So shout out to her.
Erica, thanks, Erica. We love you. Now get back to work.
That's what she kind of said. No, I can't be here because there's work to be done at the headquarters, So I don't know if there's a typical day, but what are some of the most rewarding experiences and challenges that you have in your practice?
The most rewarding is when you can tell that you've really, really helped someone. I had a client recently who was involved in an accident, and she had 6 children. Husband passed away. She was the solo breadwinner and had been kind of screwed around by another firm, a larger firm, and came to me a little just distraught and frustrated by that. And the first thing she said after our conversation was, can I hug you? And I was yeah. And she said, because you've sat here and you've listened to me, and regardless of the outcome, I really just want it to be heard. Mm. And thank goodness we got a really good outcome for her, and set her up with a financial planner. So she's able to kind of put some money aside for herself and her kids.
Awesome. Nice. Awesome. Yeah. That so personal she, touch.
Yeah.
Just kind of on topic, off topic, but I was watching this video about this guy running around with the T-shirt free hug and the sign and the reaction he was getting from people. We just need more of that personal contact.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? I mean, we've lost that for some reason or another, right?
And it's sad. I mean, I don't understand how anyone can aggressively advocate for another person without really
having a feeling.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I think it's this whole PC environment and people don't, these boundaries we want to overstep. But so let folks know, what's the best way to reach out to you? What's a good point of contact for you, Sherry?
Oh, okay. Several ways. You can reach me through email, and that's Sherry, S-H-E-R-R-Y, at kubanifirm.com. It's a Hungarian name, so I'm going to spell it. And it's K-U-B, as in boy, A-N-Y-I, firm.com. Or you can give us a call, and that's 404-965-7112. I'm at Extension 1. Erica is at Extension 2. We keep our practice small so that you get the personal care that you deserve.
It's that boutique firm.
It's oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Hungarian goulash. Do you ever make any of that?
Oh, my gosh.
We'll talk afterwards.
Yeah.
Some good stuff.
And fish soup.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to have the fish soup.
All right. So you're listening to the Co-Founders Podcast, mm-hmm. being brought to you in part by WeWork. Just go to WeWork.com. Rich Castle alongside Craig Williams. And for those billion-dollar Joey Womack fans, he's in the house in the studio here. So stand by for a conversation with Joey in just a minute. We're going to turn our attention now to back to Nina. So, Nina, so we heard a little bit about you in the teaser, but tell us Hungarian, or what's your background?
Okay, well, first Russian, of all, right? After such an impressive pitch and everything what Sherry does, I'm kind of like, okay, maybe I should like stand
oh,
by.
Come on.
Or just go back and study law again.
Maybe right? Inspired, huh?
Yeah, I know. Well, it's really funny. It's actually a very good icebreaker normally. I am from the country of Georgia.
Yes.
Living
oh, okay.
in Georgia. Yeah, that's and everyone confusing. Is like, nah, you can't be from Georgia. You have that accent. I'm like, well, yeah, that is Georgia. No. And, you know, like my friend is like, can't you just say like from Nashville, Tennessee, or yeah. like something like that. You don't really have to explain it. So
it's like, who's on first? I asked you what country you're from. You said Georgia. Yeah.
Yeah.
That can be confusing. Yeah.
It is, especially when you are in Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So besides geography, so what keeps you busy? Tell us about your business, your mission.
Sure. Well, probably you might be interested why I decided to do it, and, you know, why Content Delivery Network, when there's so many ideas outside. And, you know, every time on networking events I go and I listen to these amazing ideas that right. everyone has. So it all started when I was working for one of the cutting edge technology firms, and I started as a sales person, you know, typical things that you do, like cold call, try to convince someone to buy it, go on trade shows, right, smile, right. you know, start, hey, I'm Nina from Georgia, living in Georgia, why don't you buy our service?
Yeah, yeah.
And all that stuff. So I was pretty much doing it for exactly 2 years. And I had a perfect idea of what people wanted. Like, I knew what was, for example, the average budget of, let's say, a small to medium broadcaster. I knew what was the budget of a church. I knew what people wanted overseas, what type of services. And I decided, I have the experience, I have the knowledge, I have the good contact, I have a perfect relationship with the company I'm working for. So why not do something, act as a sort of a reseller, but just use their backbone, because right. like mm-hmm. the whole technology, I just really don't want to go into details, because everybody will be like, okay, she's confusing us right now. But well, so the technology, definitely that's not something one person can do, so I needed someone to actually do to run that technical part. But rather than that, I decided, hey, why don't you go and build your own thing. You know, for example, what is the average price people are looking for? Why don't you create some packages, streaming platforms? You know, for example, what big customers want? Why don't you like combine it and do something on your own? So I would say it was kind of a challenge from my side to, like, you know, do something on your own based on your experience, see what you can do. Because, you know, it's one thing is when you're working for someone, and another thing is you learn way more when you're doing it alone.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, it's only me. Literally only me. I just sometimes ask
that's
for
why it
like,
starts with Nina.
Yeah, I know. It's really funny. I had so many good ideas, but you know, I was like, okay, well, you know. So I built a website in summer while actually I was doing internship in a law firm, by the way, because I had that kind of time so I can work and, you know, plus get paid. And I built a website. I came up with a marketing plan. I actually was writing the press releases, which I'm not very good at like writing, but you know, I said, why not? So did everything on my own. So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm doing running my own CDN. So
so who are you reaching out to? Who are some of the clients? Looks like you mentioned the churches,
mm-hmm.
Educational institutions.
Yeah, exactly. First, I would say that anyone who just wants to deliver their content, and it can even be us right now sitting in the studio who wants to live stream their event so people can just log in from their computers, cell phones, and watch.
What are some of the live stream platforms you use and utilize?
So I use a CDN backbone that is based out of Atlanta, Georgia. So I provide every kind of service, including live on-demand content. It can be DVR feature, you know, adaptive bitrate. So for example, if someone is watching in Europe or Asia where the internet is very slow or watching from even 3G, you know, you want to have that feature to like decrease or increase your internet speed. So the customer can be really anyone. When I was doing like sales back in the company, what I used to do is just reach out for example, it's like Monday, right? The Monday is the day you would like to reach out to broadcasters and, you know, just offer your service to broadcasters. Then also, and that's from my experience, a lot of people, for example, let's take the gym. How many times you wanted to go to the gym, but you have to, you know, drop off your kid and then, like, prepare dinner. And, you know, you don't really have time to travel till there. So I just, like, actually approached one of the gyms. Like, why don't you do the live stream? So people don't really have to come at your classes, but actually watch it live.
So I can work out on my couch and just virtually.
No. That's
it'd
not going to work.
It'd be great if it was that easy, yeah.
No, that's not going to work. Again, from experience, there was a lot of times there were some conferences, but, you know, someone could not make it, like someone was in San Francisco, for example, and the conference is in New York. Just like live stream the event so someone can actually just attend it. So,
Right. Well, a little selfish here. So let me pick your brain. If we had a conversation about live streaming here,
right,
which we are doing audio, we're about three different platforms, mm-hmm. and then video. So we've utilized a number of these. So I want to see your thoughts on yay or nay or mm-hmm. or preferences. So right now, like we're on Periscope, Facebook Live, YouTube. I don't know how much you know about YouTube live streaming, mm-hmm. but they haven't quite cracked the code on that. It's been my experience is that you have to get it to true live stream, you have to drop down to like 240
right.
instead of 1080. But my preference is really the brand live stream,
mm-hmm.
right? Which some of the big guys use. And mm-hmm. I've had great experience with that, but then.
Then there's Nina CDN. Why should
yeah.
we?
Yeah, she's the filter. She's the personal touch. I mean,
exactly.
Just listening to her, I was thinking about what Sherry
was saying.
So
you bring this on site. Walk me through, like, if we had you here live streaming, right. what would that look like?
Okay, perfect. Well, a lot of times I had a situation when we were talking with someone and they said, well, you know what? I have YouTube, so why should I even pay you even $35, $100, or $1,000 right. when this is absolutely free? I can upload my videos and when I go live, you can go live as well. And there's a really simple answer to that. Once you put your content on YouTube, that content does not belong to you, period.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's it. If that's something you're really kind of concerned about, I think that's the first answer I would give.
And also, they put right next to your content all of your competitors are completely inappropriate, mm-hmm. And your brand gets kind of thrown
exactly.
in that same sandbox. So for that reason, I'm not a big proponent of the mm-hmm. YouTube platform. But we got a couple of follow-up questions. We're going to maybe save those for some open panel
sure.
here. What's the best way for people to reach out to you?
Oh, well, I think, like Shannon also mentioned, the communication is key. So I think people like nowadays value, for example, when I was working, they were like, we love your company because whenever I call, a real person is answering the
yeah.
phone.
Right.
It's not like somewhere like... So I keep it really simple. I'm trying to be accessible on all possible ways. So my cell phone or Skype or email. My email is simple. It's N as Nancy, K, N-K at ninacdn.com. Okay. I use my contact number, my cell phone, primarily just because I can answer it all the time. It's 404-740-7303. And also Skype, just because a lot of our customers are overseas and, you know.
Right. Like, and you are in video, so that makes sense,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. It does. So my Skype ID is my first and last name, Nina, period, Kacharava, number 2. And, yeah, well, I'm always
there's a
to.
Number one out there somewhere?
Apparently.
In Georgia, but not in Atlanta.
Apparently there
yeah.
is. You'll be surprised that there is, because I all was right. like, Nina Kacharava, okay, that's not available. Then number one, not available. I'm like, okay, number 2.
What's the deal? All right, so Nina, thanks. You're definitely a subject matter expert. We may have to have a conversation off air here shortly. So once again, you're listening to, and I'm listening to also.
Yeah.
We're all listening to the Co-Founders Podcast, being brought to you in part by WeWork. Just go to WeWork.com. Rich Casanova and Craig Williams here in the studio in our Pro Business Channel studios in Buckhead. So now, Joey, let's talk.
What's going on?
Yeah. Well, you're ready. You're locked and loaded, it
right.
sounds like.
Right, right.
Bring it on. So before, again, we jump into business, what have you been doing in your former life or lives, in your background, if you would?
You know, interesting enough, for all the stuff that I do and I can talk about shortly, I went to school to be an accountant.
Oh, wow.
So I went to school to be an accountant, got an MBA, 24, and been living a startup life ever since.
Yeah. So talk to us about your current startup life with Amplify for Good. What does that look like? Or
it's crazy. It's okay. literally crazy.
I good mean, answer. Good answer.
It's actually maybe too much. Yeah. So
you used to have a full head of hair like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. Yeah. Oh, just can't let it go. Yeah. So yeah. So we help organizations create social impact, and quite honestly, pretty interesting side story. It actually started by accident.
Okay.
Amplify for Good started by accident, and the originating version of it was intended to be a one time side project, and so. I can go way deep into that story, but now we help organizations create social impact. And so typically we do this through what we call innovation labs.
Okay.
So these are innovation labs.
Labs, okay.
So these are hackathons. These are ideation sessions where we take an organization's one of two ways. We take an organization's employees,
right.
put them through this innovative, immersive kind of competitive environment. And have them come up with these crazy off the wall ideas that can solve a problem that's related to social impact.
Okay.
And so these companies can be for profit or they can be nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So we've worked with Google, helping them think through what they're doing for this year's presidential elections. Sorry about the whole YouTube thing.
It's okay.
That was last year. We've done a hackathon for Atlanta Hartsfield Jackson. We work with Care USA, training their international leaders on. How to think like a tech entrepreneur to solve problems in their countries. And actually on Thursday, I'm doing essentially a podcast with them or a webinar for their West African leaders.
Mm-hmm.
We've worked with this weekend, actually we're going to Ford. We're going to Detroit to do a hackathon for Ford Motor Company.
Wow.
They are rolling out this whole STEAM curriculum where it's Common Core based, it's
right, yeah.
next gen science based.
Yeah.
And so they're going to roll it out nationally to teachers. So teachers can teach it in their schools.
So it's the STEAM education. They're not bringing back the STEAM engine.
No.
At
just
art.
STEM education.
Yeah. You have some history in the automobile business.
Oh, yeah. Right? Started right out of high school with General Motors.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I've got a lot of interest up in Detroit as well.
Yeah.
But really excited about what you're doing. Been following you for some time and down at ATDC and my folks over at CEO of my life. And
cool, man. Yeah.
Shout out.
I think
to
you were just
them.
In Detroit
yeah.
as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Two trips up there twice. That's the promised land, folks. Just remember that.
We're doing a lot of great things.
Jump on the plane with Joey or whatever. Yeah.
Thursday afternoon.
Thursday afternoon.
24, 48 hours.
Nice. Yeah, so this idea of a hackathon, I love the – we've heard a lot of this activity going on in the startup community and villages, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of unique what you're doing, or it is unique, not kind, but in the business environment, in the corporate structure, because a lot of times I think there's a lot of companies that have been by the wayside because they've lost the innovation
yep.
mindset, right?
Yep.
From Netflix taking over Blockbuster and so forth and so on, right? So this idea of going to Hartsfield, Atlanta Hartsfield International Airport, and is it team building on steroids kind of thing? So they're having to kind of decode what they're currently doing and hack their own current operation system, but for good. Talk about both of those pieces.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's one of the ways we do it. Now, Hartsfield-Jackson was kind of a different type of environment. In this case, it was what we call like a corporate incubator lab.
Yeah, yeah.
And so essentially after the hackathon ended, the winning teams got to work with Hartsfield exclusively. So Hartsfield was their first customer.
Oh, okay.
And so to a certain extent, it was a diversity and inclusion play. Right. It was open to everybody, but the two winning teams were led by minority founders. Mm-hmm. And so when you say that you can, you know, you just started this company at this weekend hackathon and your first customer is Hartsfield-Jackson, the biggest in the world.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow. You can that go anywhere.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That can take you anywhere or whatever.
Yeah.
You
can
do that.
Now we're talking about billions.
Right. Yeah, first client, Hartsfield, yeah. Wow. How can we get in on that? Yeah.
Well, let's talk.
Yeah. Yeah. So this principle of for good, that's what really, that's empowering. Talk to us about, because you're taking it to a different, not just a different level, but a different experience.
Sure. Yeah. And so everything that I do is kind of built off this belief that we already have everything that we need in our communities to make the change you want to
Most
see happen.
Definitely.
Oh, wow.
It's just that so ecosystem, all the stakeholders involved, is highly inefficient. Like if it's a car, it's getting like 3 miles a gallon.
Right.
And so our thought, one of the initial thought process was, if we can help organizations that are doing amazing work to become even better by solving some of their biggest challenges via technology, we're just going to accelerate change.
Yeah.
It's sort of starting something from new. Right, like
that's where the amplification comes from.
Yeah, that's
outside
right.
of being very intentional. Just like at Pro Business, we're about the business, and he's about the result of the business that he's serving. But it's amplified not only through the message, but through the actual outcome.
Sure. So. Yep.
Well, going from beyond business and the people to a greater picture and mission, right? So what are some of these social platforms or folks or that you've helped, or what's on the short list of organizations that benefit from, you know, that opportunity for good?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I can talk about, well, actually I can't talk about because we have a lawyer in the room. I'm sure she can understand. So stuff that we're doing, like we've done with Google.
Just don't make eye contact.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't talk too much about Google, but some really cool projects. Coca-Cola as well. Dang. Some really cool things. I mean, you talk about worldwide impact.
Oh, man.
Helped them kind of just come up with ideas. I can talk about a little bit about what we've done for CARE USA. I mean, again, they have this whole leadership development program for their emerging leaders. And so we put their employees, when they bring them here to Atlanta, through this 24, 36 hour, you know, innovation lab. And so some of those projects are spun out internally. They get funded internally and they actually get launched. And so actually there was a conference call this morning where one of the projects from our April event, this past April, is getting worked on in Malawi.
Wow.
And so the conference call was at 7 a.m. I couldn't make that one. I mean, these it's a beautiful thing, especially from the CARE project, because most of the individuals internationally, English is not their first language. Mm-hmm. And so we're training them in, you know, customer development, lean startup.
Right. Yeah.
You know, English is not their first language. And to see them pick it up and then present it to their CEO in a matter of, you know, a day or two, it's an amazing. The first time it happened, I started crying. I started crying. And they're in, you know, they're presenting, they're grasping the concept, they're presenting it to their CEOs and to their board, and now they're making it happen.
Yeah. Did any firewalking take place during any of these events? Or
no, not yet.
Kind of a random question. But what's similar about these events and what's kind of different? So in terms of the scale and scope, the number of participants, the length of the events, and the outcome.
Yeah. So we have the thing called the process. You know, I'm from Alabama, big Nick Saban fan. You know, it's a process too. And our process for creating change is the same. And so, yeah, there's kind of some variables that kind of, you know, kind of go along the way. So for instance, we can go from participants from, let's say, 20 up to about 50.
Okay.
After like 50, it becomes a little bit kind of unmanageable. Now we can also go from 4 hours, a 4 hour ideation session, to a 5 day, like essentially incubator, a mini accelerator, what it boils down to.
Mm-hmm. And these 5 days, do they leave home? Do they go home? Do they shower? Or what's, because you sometimes I've seen online some of these hackathons, and they're just like pizzas being delivered, right. And it's like 20. They're not sleeping at all, right?
No, the 5 days they go home. They home. It's kind of like a mini accelerator with office hours, with semifinal round judging, and it's a big deal.
Very intense. Very intense. Yeah, that's awesome.
Any yourself or anybody been on Shark Tank or
No, we haven't done that. We actually have had individuals who served as mentors and coaches. Okay. They've participated. I think there are some individuals, some teams that have come from it. They have the potential moving forward.
Yeah.
But nobody as of yet.
And we're going to go around one more time. What's next for each of our guests? So we'll start with Joey. But first of all, before we forget, how would folks reach out to you and get in touch with you?
Sure. So if everyone, web is we're all digital here. Yeah. And so Amplify, the number 4 good. So it's Amplify for Good, Amplify, the number 4 good.com. You can also reach me via email at Joey, Joey, at Amplify, the number 4 good.com.
Home address, social security number?
No.
For legal reasons, yeah.
Right. Yeah. You might want to.
So what's next, Aaron? And I could do another segment, but I'm just.
Are you talking about this week or next week?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's always a what next.
Before it leaves on Thursday, yeah. But how do people, do you reach out to people? How do people find you? But then, and what's on the horizon?
Yeah, so we've been blessed that pretty much everything we've done so far has been inbound.
Okay. Wow.
So I started out kind of this in my former life with a pretty huge network. And so everything's been inbound. And so we're looking to do so that there's a few kind of levels to our what's right. next. We have a few projects coming up, but also it's kind of getting a different type of environment. So conferences. Now we're starting to do more things around conferences. We said that we specialize in going from conversation to solution. Okay. And so conversations happen all the time.
Yeah.
And so doing more things around conferences, going into more companies, training more individuals, that are entrepreneurial in nature to actually lead our ideation sessions, and then also developing technology, because again, we teach people how to think like a tech entrepreneur. The
which
ideation
was just foreign to a lot of these folks, right?
Right.
On that level, the executive levels and so forth.
Right. Yeah. We do a pretty good job of kind of making it culturally relevant.
Okay.
But the last piece is kind of on the technology. The hackathons, the ideation sessions are the classroom. We're looking to do more, build some products that prepare them to be better innovators coming in,
right.
And also continue their education afterward.
Okay. I like conversations to solutions. That's on our walls. We convert conversations to content.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah.
Well,
so
let's talk more. I didn't even see that.
Yeah, exactly. Everywhere.
Content. So speaking of content, Nina, what's next for you?
Oh, wow. That's an interesting one. Well, I do have a whole list of what's next. First of all, it would be
just give me
like,
one or two.
Yeah, it's like kind of to just broaden and, add more things that would help and simplify others' life in terms of streaming.
That if you can simplify, everybody's on board, right?
Right.
Streamlining. One of my favorite phrases is to simplify life to elevate purpose.
Right.
Think about that one, right?
I like that.
For good. So simplify life to elevate purpose, because we are kind of bombarded with so much information, mm-hmm. overload, content overload, and so many opportunities. But we have to, you have to be able to say no, and you have to kind of focus on a few things that you can do really well. Yes or yes?
Yes.
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 Okay, good.
Super yes.
You've never had a super yes before, yeah. All right, so Sherry, what's next?
Well, I like your statement just then, keeping the practice of law simple to elevate the experience for each one of my clients, make certain that they continue to feel unique and that their case matters, that they matter, because I think that that's what an attorney's purpose should be. And it's about, taking care of the person who's in your charge, being a aggressive advocate. And we will continue to do that.
Yeah.
Got some great stewards here, man.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. Great stewards.
Yeah, because I think we're all on the same page as far as that philosophy, because I don't think it would work out well the opposite for a meet with a client and say, I'm going to make your life really complicated.
As hard as I can make it. Yeah.
You can sell that for sure.
But sometimes we may not say that verbally, people pick up on that.
Yeah.
They're like, this is too much.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we are out of time. I can't believe this. We need to make this an hour show.
Yeah.
Moving forward. Time just flew by here in the studio. So Craig's closing thoughts or
Well, I mean, it's still the ethos of what we do at WeWork and here, and it's good to, whether they're members or not, we see a consistency of the community and really being intentional about being significant to the person you're serving so that they can perpetuate that to who they're serving as well. So continue to do the great work that you all are doing.
Thank you.
I'm glad you mentioned WeWork again, being brought to you in part by, and some of the folks have been there or members, but whether you're a member or considering membership or need a space or not, but you can actually go to probusinessevents.com and you'll see the lineup, and you're always welcome. The whole, it's a collaborative environment experience to come and participate. One of our signature events is the co-founders lab, which is in kind of partnership with this show as well. So we do an in-person live experience.
Nice.
That'll be coming up every other month at WeWork here in Atlanta. And they're in 45 markets throughout the U.S. And we're the ambassadors for the city of Atlanta.
So we finally,
For Georgia. Okay.
With Georgia. And which? Yeah,
but in Georgia. But Georgia, the state of Georgia. Yeah,
the state of Georgia.
We'll move to Russia if it adds up. Yeah. All right, so
not Russia, though.
No, it's not Russia.
Oh, what did I say?
No.
Georgia.
No, I mean, it's not Russia. It's just like next to Russia. Yeah. Luckily, it's not Russia.
All right. So I'll check my GPS and we'll edit that out.
Figure it out.
There you go.
All right, we'll see you guys next time on the Co-Founders Podcast.
Thank you for joining Rich Casanova and his guests on the Pro Business Channel. Use the social media links here to share today's show and stay tuned for the next episode of Co-Founders Radio.